One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Have your Bible. You may turn with me to the book of Malachi. That's the last book of the Old Testament. And actually, it introduces 400 years of darkness without a witness, without a prophet, without a light in the spiritual sky, until Jesus was born in Bethlehem's manger. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 2, who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Now then, chapter 2 and verse 6, the law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. Now back to the third chapter, and it'll be verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, the sons of Jacob are not consumed. We may depend and rest assuredly and with great certainty on the unchangeableness of our Savior. If he has seen his people through in days gone by, he'll see us through now. To John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way. Brother, that's our only hope. Now I want you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians. And I want to share something with you. It'll be chapter 2. Talks about a lost man, his condition. And then it tells about salvation by grace that we've been preaching on, at least on Sunday mornings. Verse 1, you hath he quickened who were dead. Your course was the course of the world. Your prince was the prince of the power of the air, the devil. Your spirit was one of disobedience. Your conversation and life was in the lusts of your flesh. By nature, you were the children of wrath, even as others. That's the condition of a man without Christ. Therefore, there's one man in this congregation that's worse than any other man. It's not the man that will not ask forgiveness, it's the man that will not grant forgiveness. But, let me go on. You cannot grant forgiveness until somebody wants forgiveness. Turn with me now, and I felt before I came over here that this is the need of this hour. Psalm 51. There's a verse in this chapter that I'm going to read. Beginning at verse 7, we come to the soap verse. Purge me with hyssop. I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For, notice, thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. We never become soul winners until we have the joy of God's salvation. Not hard to tell somebody about something you're enjoying. The newlyweds are saying, we just got married, and we're so happy. We're on our honeymoon. Christians ought to be quick to talk about their love life with Jesus. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto thee. There must be a cleansing and a purifying, as we read in Malachi, before there can be a real usable vessel. God doesn't have to have a very expensive vessel, but he does have to have a clean vessel. I never have cleansed myself. God has to do the cleansing. And now then, after we're cleansed, the Lord does one thing to us, or permits it, and that's for us to be broken. Then he uses us. I want to show you tonight in the scripture, after Fuller's soap, after our cleansing, and of course you know the soap is the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. God uses people that are broken before they can be of real service to him. What about Jacob? Jacob's natural strength was broken. Jacob had lied and cheated and prospered and gained much wealth. And yet, till he came to Jabbok that night, wrestled, and I believe it was Jesus there, turned him into a prince after what? After a leg was bent or broken and he was made crippled. And when he came out the next morning, he wasn't a rapid runner that he'd always been. God said, Jacob, I'm going to fix you where you won't be able to outrun your brother. And he limped out the next morning. He said, that heavenly visitor, wonderful Savior, said, it's breaking day, and I must leave. Jacob said, I will not let thee go until you've blessed me. He blessed him, but the blessing was a crippled leg. God honors the faith. God's not going to use us till we're broken. As long as we're strong in ourselves, have need of nothing, we'll get nothing and be worth exactly nothing in this old world. Broken. Jacob was broken. Until he was broken, he never was the prince of God. You know, Moses was out in the wilderness and they were starving for water. And the people came and said, Moses, we can't live without water. And the Lord said, Moses, why don't you use what you got in your hand? And he took that rod and struck the rock and broke the rock. And out of the rock, out of the brokenness of the rock, there came water. Oh, tonight, you girls and you men and women, you're afraid of being broken. You're afraid to lose your pride. You're afraid to be made humble. And you want some shortcut. God could have fixed it. Well, I didn't have to take my milk cow to Baylor to milk my way through school. He could have fixed it. But he didn't. I could have been embarrassed leading that little old Jersey cow down the street and all my school classmates seeing me. Brother, it didn't bother me. I wanted my room and board. I knew God had called me to preach, and that's the only thing I knew to do. And my cow became my mascot. And people, the boys that played basketball and handball and softball, they said to me, Lester, let me go watch your milk. Well, we had cow pen fellowship. Oh, I could have stuck my little chest out and said, now, Lord, you know I won't take a cow to Baylor. Listen, I'd have taken a nanny goat to Baylor and been glad to do it if she'd have paid my way through school. Broken. You wonder why the Lord hadn't used you. Maybe you haven't been broken. You remember one time there was an old country boy out behind the barn, and he was out there with his hands, and he was really getting the barley and the wheat, and he's getting him a little grain ready, you know, and he said, we're going to make us some wheat and some bread, and we're going to live. And about that time, here come the Midianites. Brother, they just took everything away from these dear people, and they'd come out once a year during the harvest time, take everything. And one day this man was out there, and he said, I'm going to hide mine. I'm going to feed. He's out there, and he's just getting his grain ready for his wheat. And somebody else came. Angel of the Lord came and said, Hail, thou mighty man of valor! That old country boy looked up and said, Mighty man of valor? Huh? Little old country tadpole? I mean, just a little piece of mud out there trying to get enough wheat for some bread for a little. He said, Mighty man of valor! Yeah, he said, That's what I said. He said, Whereabouts are the miracles? Where are the miracles? Brother, there's nothing wrong with God's people if you're going to walk with God to expect Him to perform some miracles. Oh, listen. God wants to use us. But this old country boy, he said, Lord, he said, are you going to use me? He said, sure I will. He said, now get your army together, and we got to whip out what's Midianites. And he said, all right. So he went out there and, I don't know, beat up against the post or hollered, come on, or something, and here they come. You know how many had? 32,000. He was the commander-in-chief of 32,000. The Lord said, Gideon, you got too many. You got a bunch of sissies and cowards, and they won't do. And he said, you better thin them out. He said, make an announcement. And this still works. He said, now, any of you that's afraid, head for home. Gideon said, wait a minute. All of you going? Well, 22,000 of them went. Gideon said, Lord, you just about ruined my army. I mean, don't you know how many men I'm sorry I'm talking? Well, he said, yeah, but you still got too many. He said, too many? Well, he said, yeah, well, I'm not through testing. We got to test them. And so he said, now take them down there at the water hole. And brother, there was trouble at the water hole. Because most of them just got out, you know, laughed. And there was 300 of them that got out and looked all around. Said, the Midianites may be coming. We're getting ready to fight them. I'm going to be ready. I don't want to be down on my belly drinking water. The rest of the land now, you know, just come drinking water and heat. They got down there and they'd take a look around. The Lord said, now, those folks that's really watching, you better use old, tell him what to beat it. He wound up with a Gideon band of 300, and that's all of them. Gideon could have said, Lord, I know I'm going to see a miracle now. So he got them all together, and they all got a pitcher, a lamp, and a trumpet. And now, isn't that some ammunition? But I want you to notice something. And folks, you might as well get this. If it worked for Gideon at the command of God, it'll work now. And this may be the last Sunday night that I'm going to challenge you to get ready to take care of Samson. So he got out there and he said, Lord, how do you want me to arrange it? Well, he said, just get him out there and encircle the Midianites. But leave a getting out place for them. Leave a good side hole because they're going to get on the run. And he said, I want y'all to get everything set. And I want you to say to your men, look on me and do likewise. We can't stand a smart-aleck, a glory stealer. Brother, we're going to have to move together. We've got to break our pitchers. We've got to hold up our lamps. We've got to blow our trumpets. And we've got to do it at the same time. You say that's the silliest strategy you've ever heard of. Not if God told him to do it. Not any sillier than Joshua and Jericho. There wasn't a shot fired, a sword raised, and yet the walls come tumbling down. And so they got set, and they blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers, the lights. Have you ever thought about what the light? You see, the light will blind the people who walk in darkness. The people who walk in darkness, they're afraid of the light. And the lights all came on, and the Midianites bailed out. And then you know what happened? Same thing is going to happen here. When the Midianites started running, here came all that bunch of sissies and said, man, let's pursue them. And they took off there. But it took 300 that would cooperate. Broken. They broke the pitchers. Dear friends, until we're willing to be broken, the Lord's not going to use us. You remember the little old widow had a little old pot of oil, I guess all sealed up. And she, I think, broke the seal, poured it forth, and paid her debt. But it was a broken pitcher that poured out the pot of oil. Esther risked her life and broke through the rigid etiquette of a heathen court. She wasn't supposed to be in to see the king. That was a haven. And today we're facing a haven. Yes, Mary had a beautiful alabaster box of ointment. And she brought it and faced criticism. But she broke her box of alabaster ointment and the perfume filled the room. Criticism came. Why this waste? And Jesus said, this is a gift of faith. She sees me dying for her sins, and she's brought me something sweet before I go to Calvary. Folks, have you ever been really broken? A little grain of corn, so beautiful, bright, golden, yellow dent, so nice, so well formed, and there it is. What's it good for? One little lonely grain of corn. The call for sacrifice comes. The old farmer said to the grain of corn, are you willing to die? Would you forget your beauty, your brightness? Would you go in the soil and let me cover you up? Grain of corn said, I volunteer. In a little while, in the planter box, round and round, and victory she went through the hole, fell into the rich soil. In a moment, the plow covered her up, never to be seen again as a grain of corn. But oh, in a little while, she began to swell up. And directly she burst all to pieces. Her golden outside is gone. Out of that little grain of corn, there came a little shoot. And after a while, it worked its way through the soil and stuck its little head up and said, good morning, world. Hi, the sun began to shine. The rain fell. It began to grow, and after a while, there was a beautiful tassel. There was a head, and there was a little ear of corn, and then another, and two big ears of corn. Ah, listen, that little yellow dent corn grain became hundreds and hundreds of grains of corn. You know why? It died. Broke all to pieces. It was broken. It was broken. God never will use us until we're broken. The sacrifices of God are broken. There it is. Broken in the contrite heart. Oh Lord, thou wilt not despise. Son, where are you going? I'm going to hear Jesus. You really are? He said, yep. What you got in your box, sonny boy? He said, I got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Got lunch. He said, all right, go on. I met a little boy. I said, whoa, what a crowd. There are a lot of people here. He must be a great speaker. Thousands and thousands, almost 20,000. If there were just 5,000 men, there'd have to be a lot of others there. It wasn't just a brotherhood meeting. Little old boy took his seat down on the grass and he said, well, I'm ready. And the speaker happened to be Jesus that day. Oh, the words began to drop like drops of honey. And the little boy's heart began to get warm. And he held on to his words and listened. And before he knew it, somebody came and said, son, the master, the great speaker, he wants your lunch. The little boy said, I give it all. Basket of all. That man took it up to Jesus and he said, here it is. 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so little? Oh, if Jesus had sung a song, he would have said, little is mass when God is in it. Labor not for wealth nor fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus looked at him and said, those are beautiful loaves. Lovely little fish. What are you going to do with them? I'll have to break them. And he took the loaves and began to break and break. And the people began to... And he broke the fish, and the fish were broken, and he served and served. And I imagine the little boy, I don't blame him. He probably got up from where he was and said, get up a little closer. And he peeked and said, where's it all coming from? They said, it's in the hands of the master. He's breaking your loaves and fishes. Folks, 46 years ago, the Lord said to a freckle-faced, sickly country boy, timid, unlearned, and had never stood on his feet to tell anything good about Jesus. Never one time. I used to sit in the pew. Those old benches that you saw brought down here, one of them, I'd sit there and my brother Melvin would get up and be the leader, teach a class, lead the young people. And they'd get up and give a verse and testify or pray. I never opened my mouth one time. Never did. Oh, my brother would get me home. I was the youngest boy, and say, Lester, why didn't you quote a verse? I said, I didn't know any. I didn't want to. Why didn't you lead in a sentence of prayer? I said, I can't. And Melvin would say to me, sometimes trying to inspire me, Lester, I killed old man Kent and whipped old man could until he could. That didn't register with me. I said, I can't, and I didn't. Oh, there came a day when God said to this little grain of corn, if you want me to use it, I've got to break it. And he said to my little old loaves and fishes, give them to me. You can't do anything with it anyhow. And for 46 years, the Lord has been at least using these little old loaves and fishes a little bit. Oh, tonight, young people, boys, you don't know what to do with your loaves and fishes. Take your dinner basket to him. World died in hunger and thirst tonight. And then one more and I'm through. The supreme example and the place where I always have to wind up is with Jesus. I see him born in a manger, lived a lonely life, isolated because of his righteousness, misunderstood because of his purity, didn't fit anywhere, waited a long time until one day blessed old John came along and said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin. There he is! I think Jesus sighed a sigh of relief and said, I'm glad to get started. Oh, I've waited. Think of it. 30 years almost. Never performed a miracle, never preached a sermon. Soon as he walked off in the baptistry and came out, and you girls and boys better remember this, the devil was standing in the edge of the Jordan waiting on him, patting his foot, imagine. Just come on out. Come on. You got to face me right now before your robes get dry. Come on. The devil, old bold smutty face, old slew foot, he said, come on out. And Jesus said in all of his purity, all of his love and compassion and said to the devil, "What do you want?" He said, "I want to challenge you to a real fight. And I want to do it in the wilderness." And Jesus said, "Just name the tree where you want to meet, and I'll be present." And out there in the wilderness, the devil began to strike Jesus. And the mistake he made, he tried to hurt Jesus with Jesus' sword, and it just don't work. Oh, he thought he'd be a smart daddy. That's what the world's doing today. The world is trying to say, like the devil said in the garden, let's have a Bible conference. I think we need to have a deeper study of the Word. And the devil, and yet he came right out there, and he raised Bible questions with Jesus, and Jesus took the sword out of the devil's hand and hit him 3 times with it, and the devil said, "I believe I'll have had it." But oh, that's not all of it. For 3 long years, and then Gethsemane came. He took Peter, James, and John. They went sound asleep. And Jesus prayed alone, bled alone, suffered alone in the garden that we sang about a while ago. In a little while, Judas came and said, "Master," and put a kiss on his cheek. And Jesus said, "Friend, wherefore art thou coming?" When he said, as they looked for Jesus, he said, "I'm the one you look." When he said that, they fell back. Looked like they'd tore out a running, doesn't it? But they got up and came again. And they took Jesus and bound him. And they took him down to try it. I hear Judas say 3 times, "I don't see anything wrong with him. I find no fault in him." And yet, if you think we've had injustice, we've had nothing compared with what he had. Man called and the phone rang solid after 6 o'clock because 60 Minutes didn't come on. But our friend said, "We'll never compete with the World Series." And said, "If it's not off 10 minutes before 6 o'clock, we'll never roll tonight. It'll be next Sunday night," they said. "We want 40 million people to see what we've done in Corpus Christi." It is sad that the networks own the radio and the television. Does it seem strange to you that football and baseball is the tail that wags the dog? On the Lord's Day afternoon, I switched across the dial to see maybe what inning it might be. And there was nothing but football, World Series, entertainment. I said, "Why, this is the Lord's Day." You know why they have it? It's because people look and listen. They're after money. And the dollar that's worth maybe 30 some odd cents now, that's the tail that wags the dog. But we're going to soon lose the tail and we'll have a bob-tailed dog. And Jesus, after he was tried and freed 3 times, Pilate said, "It's customary, it's a tradition that at this particular season we release a prisoner. I have here Jesus, and then we have a man by the name of Barabbas, a noted criminal, a killer, a murderer." You listen to this. And the religious people said, "Not this man." That's Jesus. "Don't release him. Release Barabbas." Pilate said, "What then shall I do with Jesus?" Isn't that strange for a judge, a ruler, to ask what to do with a prisoner? Talk about the miscarriage of justice. There it is. They said, crucify. Get him out of the way. And here we come to the supreme example of what I'm preaching about in my clothes. They came and took Jesus, put on some mock clothes. The man who left his redemption robes and beautiful robes of glory, and all their beauty, purity, the hails of angels and now the nails of earth and Jesus. They said, we better crown him. He claims to be a king. And so they reached and got a crown. They said, that'll be it. And they pushed those jagged thorns down into that lovely brow. I guess almost reaching the brain that had thought nothing good. Never had an impure thought. Jesus stood there. What am I talking about? He's being broken. After a while, they said, what a whipping. What a whipping. They took whips and scourged the back. Pure blood spurted. He's been broken. My Bible says that they couldn't tell whether he was a man or not. He was so mangled and so whipped and so beaten and so dehydrated, and lips were so swollen, and eyes, when they finally went to, cheekbones sticking out. And they said, he's not really a man. He doesn't even look like a man. Ah, you'd say, Brother Olaf, how many were out there of his friends? Very few. And dear friends, people will go anywhere but the cross. So few stood there. No lawyers that were his friends. Nobody to ask for another trial. Nobody that was a nurse or a doctor. Nobody with anything to ease his pain but just a loving, broken-hearted mother that stood there and said, that's my son, but not only my son, he's my Savior. Oh, there stood by the cross the mother of Jesus. And I think down in her heart, her faith led her to say, stay with it, hon. Oh, stay with it, my darling. You've never done wrong. I know it. But I want to thank you for saving your mother from her sin. I'm here. I'll watch as long as I can stand it. John, blessed old John, said to the mother of Jesus, honey, lean on my shoulder. And John stood. Their tears rolled down their loving cheeks. Jesus was being broken. Oh, you'd say, but he's through. Is that right? Brother, after a while, about 72 hours later, oh, when that glorious Sunday morning rolled around, I think the sun was glad to rise that day. The sun rose on the resurrection of the Son of God. Jesus said to the Roman seal, you can't hold any longer. Rome, you'll be broken. And that old seal broke open because of the blood of the everlasting covenant. And a broken, nail-scarred Jesus pierced his side, but he didn't have a broken leg or a broken arm. Those legs were straight. Ah, with the resurrection power, Jesus walked out of the grave and the men fell back like dead men. And Jesus kept his appointment. And the one thing the world gave Jesus was scars. But for 2,000 years, that broken body, yonder, at his PBX board, answering 4 billion telephones at one time, and talking to every saint and every sinner that would call. I said, God will use that which is broken. Never has been a man changed history into before and after. Broken, you'd say? Yes. Oh, listen. Talk about people loving Jesus, dying. Look at the missionaries. I said, look at the missionaries. Folks, you got to get broken before God is going to use you.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.